With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Poor old Michael Finnegan, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. The FA Cup fourth round is in and Royston Drenthe is back. It's Tuesday, 12th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Ricky Peakford.
Welcome, one and all, to Tuesday's helping of the Football Ramble. What a treat we've got in store for you, everybody. Andy, the FA Cup fourth round draw is in. I know you hate this competition with all your fibre, but were you excited at least to see Peter Crouch giving a little nod to Rod?
Well, it's a delight. Of course, that is the pinnacle of any cup draw, either in Scotland or England. But why do you think I hate the FA Cup? I love the old FA Cup.
You said you hate the League Cup, and I just assumed that you
Hello,
everybody.
Only a minute in, and you're getting things very wrong, Marcus Speller.
It was abysmal assumption. Admin spells.
Yeah. Because to bad assume admin is to make a prick out of you and me, Andy. Okay, so you don't mind the FA Cup. Would you like the FA Cup? This is a test of your Englishness, damn you.
I like the FA Cup immensely, although that Wimbledon have only won it once is obviously an absolute travesty.
Well, but you can remember it, though, at least.
God, I'm not that. Yeah, I'm not that old.
No, well, I can. Yeah, but it wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things, though.
No, I suppose not. Look, greatest of all FA Cup finals, yeah.
Think about some people, Andy. Their club has never won the FA Cup. And think about poor old Peter. His club is never going to win it again.
I wrote on Twitter last week that I genuinely have fantasies about the three-day bender after a League Cup win. I know exactly where it's going to start. It's going to start in that terrible bar near Wembley, the 666 Sports Bar, which is just like a pigsty, and it's going to end in Soho, and I'm going to be stripped to the waist, and it's just going to be the greatest weekend of my life. It's just going to be 3 days of partying when Newcastle United win the League Cup.
And obviously, the connoisseur's choice is that pub opposite Baker Street, where everyone who thinks they're on the D-Lo meets, but obviously half the world's in there.
Is it the Globe or the World?
That's it.
Yeah, I know the one you mean. I did read that tweet of yours, Pete, and I thought I was a bit disappointed because I thought surely it would end in the Big Market in Newcastle. No,
I mean, it'd be a hell of a trip. Yeah, I mean, it'd be a hell of a binge that starts in London at Wembley and then ends up in the northeast. Yeah, it's doable. It's eminently doable with the GNER rail network.
Well, also you'd get. I think you'd the binge would be very much underway, and then a motorbike taxi up the motorway to Newcastle.
With you vomiting all the way. Lovely.
You giving it the old Kate Winslet in Titanic, both hands up.
I would never disrespect a scooter or motorcycle like that, Marcus, as you well know. I riding pillion is a pleasure, not a right.
Oh dear. But anyway, it was quite enjoyable though, seeing Peter Crouch drawing the balls on the FA Cup. I did find it funny when Reshmin Chowdhury, after the draw, said that with regards to the Manchester United playing Liverpool, Peter, what have you done? And you do sort of think to yourself, like, obviously, you know, he doesn't know who he's drawing out, but he has done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can blame Peter Crouch, I think, for that.
I guess so, yeah, yeah. Like the agents of chaos and circumstance just, you know, coming together in Peter Crouch's lengthy fingers. Enjoyable.
Yeah, I quite like Paul Scholes' response when he was asked about it. And he was like, yeah, well, get Liverpool, knock them out early doors, you know, get them done. Rare bit of optimism from Paul Scholes, of course. But yeah, do you know, Liverpool have never got past the fifth round of the FA Cup under Jurgen Klopp.
That is absolutely extraordinary.
Does that threaten to tarnish his reputation on Merseyside?
Probably why they're so successful.
Yeah. I would say perhaps not, Marcus, though it is interesting because if you look at major cups all over Europe, mm-hmm. it's the big teams that win them season after season after season. So maybe it suggests that Klopp is so checked out in the early rounds that they're not even getting beyond those. I'm sure the calendar comes into it and all the rest of it. But it's still pretty surprising, I think, when you bear in mind that and the FA Cups had a slightly broader palette than a lot of the Copa del Rey or the Coppa Italia, for example, in recent years. But not much more. It is the same type of teams that win it again and again. So I'm quite surprised by that.
Well, that was the point Mourinho was making about the League Cup, wasn't it? That the big teams do care. They do care. Chorley hosting Wolves. Not what the groundsman wanted of Chorley. Poor bugger was out there, you know, the guys were talking about it. Yeah, they were all sleeping and getting the hair dryers out to warm the pitch and so on. I sincerely hope that the weather improves significantly before that game. Otherwise, you're going to have to put a mammoth shift in. But
well, he got invited to the to Wembley, didn't he, to work with the staff on the FA Cup final, which is quite nice.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
Lovely. Why do they need someone to keep on the pitch? They're like, he'll do it.
Free labour. Football organisations are going.
We think this is nice. It's very exploitative from the. No, I'm sure it is a very nice thing to do. And it's in May, I assume.
Yeah, a little bit easier.
It should be better. It should be better in the tropical southeast of England. I did find this quite nice, though, that Chorley manager was talking about the game. He said, there's a bit of history there with the Wolves because in 1986, Chorley played against them at home and beat them 3-0. So we just need to do that again. That's all we got to do.
Yeah. I think it is worth pointing out that in 1986, Molyneux did have two sides and Wolves were in the fourth division. But, yes, you know, I don't want to split hairs here.
I don't know whether that's relevant or not. All they just need to do that again, Andy. That's all they need to do.
Yeah, that's simple.
3-0. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. What about Cheltenham Town against Manchester City? Yeah, tough one, isn't it? How is Pep going to prepare for that one? Is he going to borrow Marcelo Bielsa's VHSs of Cheltenham Town?
That's a slippery slope. I remember Jonathan Wilson putting me in touch with his DVD dealer of classic matches, and it's a slippery slope from there. So
and it
don't
is
do
very
it,
much
Pep.
A dealer.
Don't do it.
It
dot matrix printouts of DVD lists and stuff. Is that how? Because that back in the day, I remember sort of legendary matches. I remember watching a lot of the Copa America in the 90s through a tape trader about a year later. Because I wanted to see what Tino was up to. But and it just came as this big kind of dot matrix printout. And you'd select the VHSs you wanted and they'd arrive a couple of weeks later.
Bloody hell. So you've. Yeah, of course you've done this. Why does this surprise me? I always wondered how this sort of works. How do you get hold of these people, Peter? Or shouldn't we ask?
Mate, well, you'd see it in adverts in the back of like fanzines and stuff. That was always how I found out about them. Same with do you remember playing like a kind of rudimentary version of like Football Manager by post? Do you remember that? The kids nowadays, they don't know their ball and they can just boot up their Macs and play. But back in the day, you used to play this kind of like rudimentary version of Football Manager where you would buy and sell players week by week by trading with other managers and stuff back and forth. And again, I found out about that pen and paper kind of role-playing football management game in the back of the fanzines.
So, Pete, I always wanted to know about this, having never participated in these. I mean, how tense was it waiting a week to work out if your team changes have worked? I mean, it's very much not the instant gratification of like playing current fantasy on your phone. And if you were playing with competitors as gutsy and as unforgiving as Jules Breach and Luke Moore, they simply say they didn't get your team changes in the post.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't get them in the time, or you didn't enclose the amount of subs, I mean, they must have been making money hand over fist. It's quite difficult. They probably had to spend a lot of time counting out all the pound coins and the 50p's and the 20p's and stuff. But yeah, it was a fun little game, but you didn't get much of a you'd get like the score, and then you'd get this bloke scored, and then that's it. And I'm fairly certain none of the players were actual player names. They were just made up players. I mean, no one's going to look, the FIFA Pro are not going to like start dropping big old lawsuits on a bloke who's running a little role playing game from his bedroom. I don't know why they didn't just use the actual players. If anybody else remembers playing those kind of paper role playing games back in the day, I'd love to hear from them, because I think I lasted about 7 weeks and then gave it up. But
Pep still plays them. There's no doubt about that. I mean, when we were like comparing ourselves, like sort of gathering old tapes, we can't put ourselves in that sort of league. To go back to your original question, Marcus, it would be locking himself away at the City training centre for probably 3 or 4 days with like loads of old sort of footage of Cheltenham. That's how he does, isn't it?
Yeah, well, of course, if they get through against Cheltenham, and it is an if, they will face Swansea City or Nottingham Forest in the next round, because the FA Cup fifth round draw was also made, which was an interesting situation. But in the fourth round, though, Crawley visit Bournemouth, the giant killing Crawley. Now, fancy it, Andy. They've got Leeds out the way, and then they've got the Championship side, Bournemouth.
Do you think, I mean, no disrespect to Bournemouth, but I think that's a really crappy draw if you're Crawley. To beat Leeds and then get a game where you're unlikely to win and it's not that glamorous.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the worst possible draw, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When you kind of, you often see that with a small side, to say like Marine FC get into the third round proper and then they're, drawn away or something to a League Two side, or, AFC Wimbledon or somebody like that. And that is a dig. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. That is a little bit disappointing. But of course, West Ham, they are in the draw for the fourth round, because they beat Stockport 1-0. And there was a fabulous fireworks display during the game, which I'm sure you enjoyed. Now, we should say that apparently it was in support of a 15-year-old boy who was injured by a police car responding to a 999 call on Boxing Day. So there is it just wasn't...
Don't ruin our jokes, Marcus.
I'm sorry. But it certainly didn't ruin a lovely moment we saw between Mike Dean and Mark Noble, when old Deanie was going around and chatting to the players and giving his thoughts on perhaps whether there was going to be a Catherine reel or something like that. And
he went up to
Mark Noble, and as they were just talking, they both just turned around and looked up at the sky for a moment, pondering. It was beautiful. It was like that first time you ever see a shooting star. You think, I've witnessed something marvellous there.
I think it's more like two old veterans thinking about the Battle of Q8 in 91 or something. Noble is ancient. But it was an emotional scene. Mark Noble, his hair matted with sweat, and it was a lovely, touching moment. But the commentators, Murray, our friend Murray James, pointed out that the commentators on BBC Five Live were going crazy. They couldn't get their job done at all, because obviously there's a visual element if you're watching it on television,
of course,
but it's just unhelpful when you're just audio.
Yeah. I couldn't believe how loud it was. Like, it was genuinely like, crazy. We're going to have to stop the game because this is just madness. Andy, have you ever witnessed anything like that? A firework display stopping a match? I appreciate fans not being in there obviously makes the whole atmosphere much, much quieter, so the fireworks will be more pronounced, but still.
Well, maybe not stopping a match, but I think if we go back to the restart of football after the pandemic, certainly in Portugal, I remember the first game back in Portugal was between Famalicão and Porto. And the Famalicão fans were, I guess, about half a mile away. And they let off fireworks at the final whistle when they won, which is not quite the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess like a lot of ultra groups will be thinking of like ways to communicate with the players without breaching social distance guidelines and without, you know, well, presumably in most cases, in a lot of cases, they can't actually get that close to the ground anyway. So
when you say communicate with the players, are like they're setting up fireworks when they like spell something in the sky, like, you know, yeah, like man on or something, you know?
Well, cheaper than a plane, isn't it? And
it's more innovative. Yeah.
Yes.
But the plane go back and forth with tactical instructions.
Man on.
Spins around 4-4-2. Yeah. Well, at West Ham, they went through with a Craig Dawson header in the 83rd minute. I'll tell you what, that is a fixture that West Ham will just be glad to get out of the way, because Stockport put up a hell of a fight. They're very dogged, but the pitch was an absolute state after that torrential rain. Ball going everywhere and whatnot. So as I say, good to get it out of the way. Wayne Rooney's brother John was in the middle of the pitch for Stockport. Big John Rooney. But what was I think the most enjoyable thing about the whole evening was the Stockport manager Jim Gannon, who refused to do Sky Sports interviews during one of his previous stints at the club because his Sky box broke and no one came around to fix it. So just to be reminded of big Jim Gannon's notoriety there was quite enjoyable.
Oh, I'm very close, Marcus, to having my own outburst about a certain broadband provider. Oh, I'm sure I was in trouble with their broadband, but I signed a contract in August and they've not come round to fit my line. It's bubbling away, Marcus. You don't know which shot's going to be. Could be Jules, could be Kate. You're going to have to deal with it. The host of the show.
If you think that I don't want you to do that right now, you're very much mistaken.
You know, let me see who's advertising with us this week.
when I was a teenager, I used to go and get my hair cut locally. And one of the hairdressers in there, I remember him boasting how this was back in the days when Sky, rather than give away the kit, it was a lot more bulky. You had the dish and all the rest of it. That they used to essentially loan you the kit while you had a subscription with them.
Did they put the dish up though, Dandy? When you say like it was all a bit bulky, it's not like it came in a package.
No, that's right. But as his contract was coming to a close, this hairdresser has decided he didn't want to give his Sky dish back. So what he'd done is he dug a trench in his back garden, set the dish in concrete and surrounded it with barbed wire.
Barbed wire?
Gordon Bennett.
I mean, I didn't really dare ask if it had affected the reception, but
yeah. Yeah, it's ruined it, but you know, rules are rules.
Principle, isn't it?
Rules are principle. Rules. I mean, like, so what was he? I presumed, but the, you know, you've got your dish and stuff, fine, but you still need that little kind of card that went in the front of the box to actually subscribe. So they're literally holding the card in this particular situation.
Pete, any attempt to bring logic into this story, I think, is futile.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Well, going back to Jim Gannon and his, what do you call it, Sky boycott. According to former player Liam Dickinson, he said he probably lost the club a good few grand with this stance. Dear. And a club that could do with the money. Apparently it took him 9 months for him to finally break the silence. I remember.
Did he try turning it off at the wall and turn it on?
I should hope so, Andy. I should hope so. I remember Sir Alex Ferguson. He didn't do interviews with the BBC for a bit, didn't he?
That was was that his son?
It was his son.
Yeah.
Allegations and so on and whatnot. Mm. I can't think of any other managers off the top of my head who have refused to do interview. I'm sure there has been.
Yeah, Kinnear went in quite hard with a couple of organs, didn't he?
Yeah, no, that was just everybody and joking.
I think in that case, Pete, they probably wished he had stopped talking to them.
Yes.
I think that's definitely true.
I remember when Paul Lambert was at Aston Villa, he had a massive, I think, or probably quite one-sided fallout with, I think it was Matt Kendrick, who was writing on Villa for the Birmingham Post at the time. Mm-hmm. And I remember covering a game, it was a Friday night FA Cup game, actually, where Villa lost at Millwall. And afterwards, Paul Lambert was, who was reasonably embattled at Aston Villa, I think it's fair to say, was doing his press conference. And this guy asked him a question, quite a reasonable question, either about the tactics or about the next game. You know, it was a really gentle sort of teed up question. Mm-hmm. And Paul Lambert just pretended that no one was speaking. He looked off into the middle distance while the journalist went, "Are you going to answer me?" And he just pretended he wasn't hearing. He just sort of looked at a neutral point.
Come on, men.
And in the end, the press officer stepped in and said, I don't think he's going to answer your question, Matt. And then he went to Rory Smith next. And Rory opened by saying, "Well, this is quite awkward, isn't it?"
Oh, did he? Great stuff. You can't ignore Rory. Delightful man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember a man threw his season ticket at Paul Lambert when he was Aston Villa manager. And I think to throw your season ticket at a manager, that is particularly angry behaviour. Maybe, Pete, you'll throw your, you know, Wi-Fi box. I don't even want to start naming the brands.
But, I mean, if you're throwing it at the manager, that's very... Say again?
What did Steve Bruce get at Villa? Was it a cabbage or a cauliflower?
Oh, that's right.
Rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was indeed. Well, gentlemen, Mesut Ozil, he's maybe not been talking to the media, but he's been talking to his fans on Twitter. Did you see this? He had a little Q&A last night, which he said on Sunday, "Let's talk about the past, present and future." And people were a bit like, "Oh, what's going to come out in the wash here?" He was asked if he ever enjoyed playing for Arsenal, and he replied, "There have been many ups and downs, but all in all, I've never regretted my decision to join Arsenal." He admitted he was a Fenerbahce fan as a kid and wore a JJ Okocha number 10 shirt as a kid. Lovely job there. He gave his Arsenal best 11, which didn't feature Petr Cech or David Seaman, but I assume it's players he played with. And he said there's two countries he wants to play in before he retires, Turkey and the US. So there wasn't many sort of great revelations. For me, though, the interesting thing that came out among this was Mikel Arteta being asked if he was going to be logging in and having a little look at what Mesut Ozil was going to be saying. And Arteta said, "I'm sorry, but I don't have Twitter." Which is a lie. He has a Twitter account, an official one with a blue tick with 1.5 million followers and follows Mesut Ozil. Oh, dear.
I just like how there's very little kind of fuel to go on with this particular story, but the only thing people have really got is the fact that he's lying about his Twitter account and also Ozil possibly having beef with Petr Cech. Everyone, like, he's got a list of players there, Ospina, Sanya, Kshelny, because lovely Santi Cazorla, Aubameyang, and it's all fine. It's all really boring. But the
no
only
Jack
thing
Wilshere.
They've got to go on, no Jack Wilshere. The only thing they've got is, does he have beef with Petr Cech? We just don't know. It's pathetic, isn't it?
It really is.
I mean, it's just German and Germany-based players, basically, isn't it? For the large part of that. It's basically another reminder of how people vote for the Ballon d'Or.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that is very,
definitely.
Very true. Yeah. Well, Mikel Arteta has stressed that Ozil's legacy at Arsenal will not be tarnished and called his contribution to the club immeasurable. But it is a bit of a shame, though, with Ozil at the club. It's a little bit sort of Gareth Bale, Real Madrid kind of vibes, you know, because he has played some great football in an Arsenal shirt and provided some great moments and blah-de-blah-de-blah, but he could be off soon. Speaking of Arsenal, former manager Arsene Wenger, did you hear this, is in a battle with Barnet Council. He wants to get rid of an oak tree outside his house, which is at the risk of collapsing. This is dangerously close to Kevin Keegan territory, Peter.
No, Kevin Keegan would be found under the tree dead because he's fallen on him.
We've got to get rid of the tree. It's on top of me. No, Kevin, I'm sorry. As the council. Yeah, he wants to cut back a huge hedge obstructing the entrance gate and to prune three Monterey cypress trees, quite literally clearing out the dead wood, one could argue. So there
look,
we are.
You've got to be careful with your trip. Look, I there's a forest quite near my house, and the amount of ash dieback in that particular forest, it's dangerous. There's a lot of rotting trees out there, guys. It's not just our pandemic. The trees are also suffering.
Exactly.
Love can build a bridge.
What, are you building the bridge with the trees?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The rotten ash trees.
Get the beavers in there. That's what I say.
Aye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Throughout January, Clash of the Titles are letting you pick the films being battled out on air. Already binged your way through Netflix during lockdown? Listen as Alex, Vicky and Chris rediscover and tear apart old and new favourites alike, week in, week out.
I like that here, though, that Michael Bay starts as he means to go on. I made a list of sort of Bayisms from this sequence. Low angles, lens flare, dry ice, washed out colours, military hardware, men marching, orchestral score, guitar riffs.
Or if you're looking for some much-needed escapism, why not catch up with the Abroad in Japan podcast? Chris was recently joined by Joey the Anime Man to discuss mastering conversational Japanese.
That's a really interesting topic, bat channeling, which is where you kind of go,
In Japanese, if you don't do the every now and then people just think you're not listening or you're ignoring them.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
You'll be glad he's not defending a corner kick. You can hardly hear yourself.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails.
Just email the show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vince, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, or Marcus can read it out. Well done.
Well done indeed. It is show at footballramble.com, or you can tweet us at footballramble. You've got options, ladies and gentlemen, and no excuses. We've got an update on the FA Mega Cup from Ben Summer. He says, it turns out the maths was very wrong. 40,000 football pitches can fit in roughly 300 square kilometres, roughly the size of Milton Keynes, not Russia as originally thought.
I think that's good use of Milton Keynes, quite frankly.
I think it's excellent use of Milton Keynes. Andy, as an MK Dons hater, would probably agree with that as well. How can you get the size of Milton Keynes and the largest nation on the planet mixed up? I don't know. The mind simply boggles. Peter, you've got an email as well.
Imagine being like a Milton Keynes oligarch. When Milton Keynes broke down, I took control of an oil refinery, became very rich, and then bought Wimbledon. From Noah, we got an email from Noah, who was inspired by our old tales of Maltese Joe back in the day.
Oh yeah,
decided to email in about his own famous local referee. Now, just something else, this really is. Strap yourselves in. I play in a football league in upstate New York against teams from other local universities, which has brought its fair share of tales, but only one man stands out. His name is Ebay. Ebay is an older, let's say mid-50s, but to be honest, he could be anywhere between 25 and 80, Nigerian man who is somehow the referee for what seems like 75% of our home games, half of which he's intoxicated for. So, some of Ebay's highlights over the years include being spotted in the basement of a frat house at 1 a.m. when no one else at the party was over the age of 22.
Amazing. That's, it's Chris Coleman-esque.
And perpetually posting on Facebook about the football tournaments he seems to sponsor/host. One such tournament which dominates my feed is called Viagra in Niagara. When I asked him once if this tournament was sponsored by Viagra, he turned to me and said with a smirk, "Not yet." But easily eBay's greatest moment, however, came only a few months ago when refereeing a game in a small tournament he organised. While the posters for this tournament, in inverted commas, advertised food, massages and free drinks, we all knew not to get our hopes up. However, when we arrived at the pitch, we saw a small grill being set up on the sideline. Now, while the prospect of food alone is enough to excite a group of 20 university students, imagine my glee when eBay trotted out of his old pickup truck wearing a full refereeing uniform, a straw hat, and carrying oven mitts and tongs.
Lovely.
To the amazement of everyone there, eBay then proceeded to referee a full game, all the while grilling lamb on the sideline. This superhuman feat of multitasking was accomplished by eBay jogging off the field to check on and flip the lamb every few minutes, continuing to referee from the sideline. Admittedly, the lamb was delicious.
That is fantastic.
Wonderful.
Who's that
email
from Noah?
Email of the year thus far.
From
Noah, yeah.
You see, people listening to this podcast, there are stories like that out there. Get involved. Do get involved. Show@footballramble.com. Andy.
Yes, following on from Jim's comment about Americans sounding like they've chosen their own names last week, I've realised I made a mistake in reading this email because it's from someone called Andrew. And I've obviously thought, that's me saying that. No, it's not. It's someone called Andrew who's emailed in saying that, not me. And Andrew says, following on from Jim's comment about Americans sounding like they've chosen their own names last week, I wondered if you're aware that this literally happened in Turkey in the 1930s when the country's first president, Atatürk, he of the stadium where Liverpool won the Champions League in 2005, decreed that all citizens should adopt a fixed family surname in order to fit with the modern European system. With Turks allowed free rein to select their family names, the results of many are pretty weird and wonderful. For example, John, as in Emre, means life or spirit. Is it, as in Muzzy, is glory. And Cenk Tosun is apparently war bullock. Best of all, perhaps, is the surname Demirel, like the long-serving Fenerbahce keeper Volkan Demirel, which means iron hand. Very handy for a goalkeeper as well, yeah. With his first name, the player's full moniker would be Volcano Iron Hand, which is perhaps the best name for a goalkeeper or indeed human ever. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, that's very good. This all started, of course, I think, with Jim mentioning Americans choosing their names when I mentioned that the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, which is a great name for a football team out in America, their owner was called Tuffy Schallenberger. Well, I found there's another side with a good name and the president with a great name as well, Oklahoma City Energy Football Club, and their president is called Bob Funk Jr.
I like it.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I'll take it. Beautiful.
Always increase the funk. So, yes, show@footballramble.com, everybody. Get involved. Right, gentlemen, marvellous story coming out of Japan. The King Kazu dynasty rolls on. The King has signed a contract extension with top-flight club Yokohama FC, meaning he will play past his 54th birthday. It's incredible. It is absolutely. He turns 54 on the 26th of February, a day before the 2021 J-League campaign kicks off. Pete Donaldson, King Kazu, he is evergreen, ever present, and ever in our hearts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fuck you to Shinsuke Nakamura, who still plays for that side fairly regularly at 42. He must be thinking, at 42, I must be a celebrated veteran of this side. No, 54.
Absolutely ridiculous. He played four times last season, his last appearance coming in December. But he was, I mean, his high standards were not met, perhaps. He said, personally, it was not a satisfactory season. My ambition and enthusiasm towards football are increasing.
I mean, like he turns out in like cup competitions in the main against not great opposition. But I mean, they're not even like J League Two; they're J League One. Like he should not be in the side. And like he's that. This is why I love J League and Two. Like because it's just full of like journeyman Brazilians and blokes who played a little bit in Europe in the noughties and then they just returned. And I think I've spoken before how much I love Peter Utaka, John Utaka's brother. He's 36. He's got 22 goals this season for Kyoto. Mm. I just enjoy Jay Bothroyd. He's knocking them in up in Hokkaido as well. I love the J League. It's just a lot of fun. And King Kazu, I mean, he mainly just stands in the 18 yard box and does diving headers. That's basically his whole thing.
It's impressive though. When you say diving headers, is he having a fall? and they try and get the ball into him at the same time.
Yeah.
When you say your man Utaka is 36. Well, by this sort of rationale, he's got about 17, 18 years left to go.
Oh, yeah. And he's having a lovely time. But like Yokohama FC, they're quite interesting. They're a bit like AFC Wimbledon because they were the Flugels, the Yokohama Flugels. They were the airline side. And I think some decree came down and said that you couldn't be owned or you couldn't advertise a brand effectively in that league. I think that was the case. You couldn't be owned by, because all of those teams started as work teams, and the Nissan side as well joined together, and they were called the Marinos, and then they became the Yokohama F Marinos, mashing together the Flugers and the Marinos. But people weren't happy, so they created an AFC Wimbledon kind of Yokohama FC. So they're in the top flight now, and they're having a lovely time. But they haven't existed for very long.
Yeah, do you think, is there any danger of Kazu handing in a transfer request if he doesn't get enough game time?
Yeah, going somewhere else. Look, there are other leagues in Japan. Go a little lower. Find your level, King Kazu. You'll play more.
Yeah, I love the fact, though, that it will be his 17th season with Yokohama FC and his 36th season overall. 36th season overall. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. So he's the clubs he's played for, the list of clubs all around the world, it's incredible. So he's like, at the same time, he's been a journeyman and like a faithful servant to one particular club as well. It is absolutely remarkable.
But Marcus, the most remarkable thing I think about him is, of course, we associate him with Yokohama FC, is how even if you cut off the back end of his career, if you cut off from 40 onwards, it's still an extraordinary career. This idea that he had his dream to become a pro footballer and went to Brazil as a teenager to chase it. It's still extraordinary.
Well, Andy, his career started with Santos in 1986. Zico was playing for Flamengo at the time. he made his debut in the same year as Ian Wright, Martin Keown and Matt Letizier. It is sensational, absolutely sensational. We had a great reply on Twitter when this story was posted up on the Ramble account. Will Hardy said, I met a guy once whose dad was on his sixth marriage, but the sixth marriage lasted 30 years. Reminds me of this. He's absolutely delightful. Look, I mean, whether it is slightly gimmicky, I don't know. Kazu certainly doesn't think it is. More power to his elbow. I hope he's playing until he's 60.
Nakamura thinks it is.
Yeah. Knackered Mura, more like. So there we are. Gentlemen, said at the top of the show that those who remember Royston Drenthe has returned. Well, we've got a little subsection here called Former Dutch Internationals Doing Their Country Proud. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen. So Royston Drenthe has returned to football. The former Real Madrid, Everton, Sheffield Wednesday and Reading, I think he was to play for. He's back in football. He retired in 2016 before joining Sparta Rotterdam in 2018 for a brief stint, but he's now gone to Spanish fourth tier side Racing Murcia. So it's not exactly the pinnacle of football, you could say, but still it's impressive at the age of 33, although he does need to get in shape pretty quickly. He said himself, I have to lose about 3 kilos. On Monday I start the diet because I always eat a lot at Christmas. With the answer I have, how can I not eat?
Don't know if I got your aunts.
Yeah, because he pursued a career in R&B after he retired from the game, Andy, under the name Roya Two Faces, which is quite nice. Because he was a good player back in the day. One can forget, you know, when he sort of burst onto the scene.
He started at Everton really well, I thought. I thought he was going to be an absolute flyer for them. Remember that bullet he scored against your beloved Fulham? Absolute bullet.
Yeah. Well, I think his time at Everton was sort of ruined after he arrived late to a team meeting ahead of the 2012 FA Cup semi-final. According to Drenthe, David Moyes told him to fuck off, to which Drenthe responded, "What do you mean, fuck off, bro? You fuck off." And you're not going to get the better of David Moyes with that kind of language, are you?
But Andy, what, calling him bro? Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
David
that's
Moyes
the point.
Bro. That's not on.
The swearing's fine, but when you don't call David Moyes bro. But Andy, when he went to Real Madrid when he was a young man, he was, you know, obviously he signed for Real Madrid, for crying out loud. So he had a bit of quality.
That's it, isn't it? He signed for Real Madrid. That's all you can really say at that point. Of course, he did end up playing for Hercules later down the line. I've shared the story on here about I really enjoyed the bit on the late great Revista de la Liga where Guillaume Balague was his hype man as he was on the touchline after asking him to rap. And Drenthe couldn't have done it quick enough. He was very, very keen there in his training kit, rapping on the touchline. But, you know, there are Dutch footballer, rapper and R&Bers, and there are Dutch footballer, rapper and R&Bers. And, you know, he's simply not at a Memphis level. You know, Jules would probably argue he's not at a Jurgen Locadia level. You know, there are so many great, or at least engaged, Dutch footballer, rappers, R&Bers out there. Who else have we got? Ryan Babel?
Yeah.
He was okay, wasn't he? But Memphis has really worked on his flow. I think you have to respect that. Of course, the fact that he had that break for the knee injury has definitely helped him.
He's worked on his flow. Well, we did say it was former Dutch internationals doing their country proud. So we move on to our second man. It's Edgar Davids. He recently became a coach of a Portuguese third division side, Andy. How do you pronounce this one?
Olhanense.
Olhanense. Yeah, marked his first appearance in the dugout on Sunday by getting sent off for his involvement in a brawl after an 0-0 draw. It's good to see he's still got the fight, Peter.
Well, he knocked out Herelio Gomez back in the day. Remember when I think he was playing for he was playing against PSV and he whacked a volley against the post and it came off and knocked Gomez spark out. So he should have just done that, really. Just do that from the touchline. Absolute whack volleys at people's heads.
Imagine that if it all kicked off and the manager runs onto the pitch and just starts volleying footballs into the crowd.
Well, do you remember when he was he at Barnet? Was he at Barnet for a
while?
He was.
Yeah.
Like,
player
and he
manager.
Was wearing like some unlovable, when he would do the managing, he was wearing some unlovable kind of soccer mom cargo pants when he was on the touchline. I seem to remember. I remember him looking very unfashionable, you know, which I'm all for, obviously.
Yeah. Well, apparently it was a bit harsh, the sending off, because he was just breaking up a fight between the opposition manager and one of his midfielders. So, you know, breaking up the play, as he often did, Andy, when he was a footballer, of course. So, a little bit unfair.
He always had like a great relationship with referees when he was at Barnet. One of my friends actually recently pointed out that when Barnet played Wimbledon in that season, and I remember going to that game and having quite a strong feeling that those were the two worst sides in the Football League at the moment. Barnet actually ended up relegated ultimately, of course. But Davids basically spent the whole game, in which he wore the number one on the back of his shirt, by the way, standing in the centre circle talking to the referee. But I don't know if that was a mobility issue because he was quite old by then. But he never ended up getting paid a penny by Barnet, did he? He did it all for a favour.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. Fair play to him. Fair play to him. Before we move on from Dutch men in football, Vish tweeted something, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that I don't know why, it really fascinated me, that Patrick Kluivert and Ruud van Nistelrooy are exactly the same age. Born on the 1st of July, 1976. How about that? Let us move on, ladies and gentlemen.
So I've got nothing, Marcus. It's two men born on the same day. What do you want me to do with that?
Oh, dear. For more of that kind of output, do follow Vish on Twitter. But looking ahead, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening or this week, Spurs, of course, are now going to play Fulham on Wednesday after Aston Villa had to postpone their fixture with Spurs because of their ongoing COVID outbreak, which has sort of angered Spurs, but Fulham more so. because, you know, they've been given a couple of days to prepare against a better team. What do you think of that, Andy?
Does this not feel like a rare bit of scheduling common sense in the current circumstances? I mean, it does to me. Obviously, we're so unused to having these things shifted around at the last minute. But you know what? You haven't got any fans travelling at the moment. And God forbid we have to go a Wednesday night without football. I mean, can you imagine? you imagine the indignity? Haven't we been through enough?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think the thing is that Scott Parker needs to realise that his only decision is, does he go with Mitrovic up front or does he not? If he does, then play a few more balls into the box. If he doesn't, then play on the break a bit more.
I said for a long time you should be coaching this team, Marcus, and that has done nothing to dissuade me.
I think Scott Parker's doing a good job, though, at the moment. So just
is he doing it, though, or are you doing it and he's wearing an earpiece? That's the question.
I want a competition like Marine FC to manage Fulham for the second half of the season. Just judge me on my results, Andy. That's all I ask. And the banter. But the FA are going to write to clubs for the second time in a week, stressing the importance of following protocols, of course. Yes,
they've
come on.
There's a letter. Oh, no.
This is like the hardest form of protest for Brits, isn't it? You know, sending a letter. As long as you include the phrase in the strongest possible terms, I mean, that's a rebuke and a half. It's a declaration of war, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think Nuno Espirito Santo is trying to get the Premier League to take this a little bit more seriously because he believes that the Premier League wouldn't recover from a second shutdown because the biggest clubs would seize the opportunity to establish a European Super League. He said a new football will come probably with a Super League, probably with other competitions. If you have a crisis, the strong will survive. It's a little bit conspiracy theory, Peter, if I'm honest with you with this. I know there is a...
They'll probably have another crack at it. They had the crack in the first instance, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look...
Are you a believer? Are you following Nuno on this?
I am, yeah. I am. Okay. It's a bit pathetic. We're going to write another letter. It's like, why are clubs involved in the whole fining players for breaking COVID lockdown rules and stuff like that? Why are the clubs involved when in fact what their bad behaviour affects the entire league? Why is that? Why is it not an FA director or an FA kind of fining or the Premier League putting these restrictions in? Why is it down to the clubs to sort of go, oh, well, this person's, they need to pay us 20 grand for breaking COVID lockdown and getting COVID. I don't really know how it works.
Look, Pete, I don't know. Is it partly because, I mean, we've seen in recent days, and I know this isn't obviously the English FA's jurisdiction, but the way Celtic have responded to criticism of their trip to Dubai, for example, I mean, that to me suggests that clubs maybe need a little reminder of their responsibilities.
I guess so. But why aren't the FA, why aren't the footballing authorities, taking money from the clubs? They're endangering the health of other footballers through their actions. I don't know why Celtic were even allowed to leave the country. Very, very strange, especially when one player's gone down with it, and no doubt there'll be more.
Yeah. Well,
and that player with the AirPods in his ear.
Oh yeah,
last night. That's going to upset a lot of purists, isn't it?
Armstrong, Oxoflex. Well, apparently though that because if you didn't see this, your Celtic and their 1-1 draw with Hibs last night, Armstrong, Oxoflex was called up from the bench and he was wearing AirPods rather. But apparently, Gavin Strachan, who's the coach in charge for the team, because Neil Lennon wasn't there. Apparently, Neil Lennon was communicating to him through the AirPods. Apparently, that's what people are saying. I don't know whether that's a quick PR spin or that is the truth.
Did he get it from duty free at the airport?
Whatever the truth is,
those vending machines.
I think that Nuno Espirito Santo is the man to reveal all because he's suddenly the man that we need to follow, Andy.
I suspect that the player being new to the first team was being given tactical instructions through those, which is fine. It's just like you were teeing up Scotty Parker, isn't it?
Exactly. Bring him on. Take him off. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed today's show, and I've absolutely no doubt that you may have done, and you want more from us lot here, well, why not head over to the Football Ramble Patreon? For just $5 a month, you can get bonus Ramble On episodes, plus access to our Discord, where you can chat with fellow listeners and us too. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble and join in. On tomorrow's show, I'm back with Vish and Peter again. Ah, how lovely. So there we are. Do get your AirPods around that lot. Until then, thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
See you later.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.